17 months after the revolution that ended the 15-year rule of Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina and her Awami League, Bangladesh goes to a general election on Thursday this week. It's a poll widely regarded as the nation's most consequential in decades and a real test of what sort of democracy Bangladesh will be in the post-Hasina era. The international monitor ACLED says that during the campaign already, at least 18 people have been killed in around 80 acts of violence among groups affiliated with political parties, which is more than in previous elections. Joining us today to discuss the election is investigative journalist Zulkarnain Sayer Khan. His work with Al Jazeera helped expose Awami League corruption and reveal secret recordings of Sheikh Hasina that were used in her trial in absentia for crimes against humanity that late last year saw the former Prime Minister sentenced to death. Sayer, welcome back to Sunday Extra.
Hi, Jules. Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to speak to you. About 127 million registered voters are eligible to cast votes to elect 350 members of the parliament, the Satija Sangsad. Now, Hasina's Awami League party is banned from participating. So who are the main participants in this election? Could you start by speaking about how the BNP, the Bangladesh Nationalist Party, is faring in the campaign?
At this moment, there are two major parties who are contesting in the upcoming election. One is, of course, the Bangladesh Nationalist Party, BNP, and the other is Jamaat-e-Islami Bangladesh and their allies. And, of course, there is another party, the Jatiyo Party. The BNP campaign is going on full-fledged. Their chairman, Mr. Tariq Rahman, who recently lost his mother after returning to the country after nearly 17 years. He started his campaign from the 22nd of January, the same with the head of Jamaat-e-Islami, Mr. Shafiqur Rahman, and the other small parties. They also started the campaign the same time. The campaigns are going on in full scale. So these leaders, they are traveling all across the country. They both are trying to satisfy the voters, their requirements. They're saying all the sweet words that you can expect before election that the political parties will float. What really matters is after the election, whoever is elected, how much they can stick to those sweet words.
Tariq Rahman, as you said, has been living in exile for a long time. He's the son of a former prime minister himself. Yes. Has he, if you like, reintegrated seamlessly into the Bangladesh political scene? Is he regarded as a credible leader despite his long absence?
Well, although he was in exile, he is the son of the late President Zia-ur Rahman. His father was also a president of the country. And then his mother, Begum Khaleeda Zia, who died last year on the 30th of December, she also stepped into the shoes of her husband after his assassination. So Tariq Rahman, from his teenage, grew up watching how his parents kind of managed state affairs. So even he was abroad for nearly 17, 18 years, he was connected virtually with his leaders. Mm. He always conducted meetings with the grassroots people. So I would say that he is very much aware of what is going on in the country. He has held number of thousands of meetings with his supporters, leaders and activists throughout these past 17, 18 years. So he does understand the pulse. Now it's the time to delivery. So we will see him in action. We can see him that he is traveling tirelessly, covering 4 to 5 districts every day, meeting with thousands of people everywhere. So we do see that, yes, he has the interest and he is trying to position himself as a people's leader.
Hmm. You mentioned the other sort of major coalition includes Jamaat-e-Islami, which is the country's biggest Islamist party.
Right.
How significant is their polling at present, and does their platform pose a threat to Bangladesh's more secular traditions?
Well, that's a tough one because it's just before days before the election. I don't want to make any such comment, any such controversial comment, but they are a strong force. They are a very strong party. And during the last 15, 16 years, under Sheikh Hasina's rule, Jamaat-e-Islami and BNP both were oppressed to extreme. Their supporters, their leaders were subject to arrest, arbitrary detentions. Two Jamaat leaders' sons, Barrister Arman and one brigadier, retired Brigadier General of Bangladesh Army, were detained in secret prisoner cell for nearly 8 years without any kind of justification. They were just detained. They were just held there as captive because their fathers were leaders of Jamaat-e-Islami. So, of course, there is a public sympathy for the Jamaat-e-Islami. People have witnessed how their supporters, how their leaders were tortured, were subject to unlawful detention. Some even faced extrajudicial killings. And of course, as democracy could not thrive under the Awami League rule, many people resorted to both these parties. Some resorted to Awami League, BNP, some resorted to Jamaat-e-Islami. So they have turned into a strong force. And also the student party, NCP.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that, because obviously it was the student movement that led the revolution to oust Hasina. So what's become of that political movement moving into the election after the revolution?
The election, the NCP, the student-led party, they have formed a coalition with the Jamaat-e-Islami. So their leaders are also running for the election, to be elected to be the member of parliament. So their main leaders, like Nahid Islam, there is Hasnat, Abul Hasnat, Sardis Alam, Hanan Masood. All these boys are running for election and they're performing good. Like, if you consider that Bangladesh is a country where dynasty politics has been always there.
Yes.
And it is really challenging for people without any kind of political backing or any kind of political connection ending up to where these boys are right now. I'm talking about boys of 27, 28 years of age and who are aiming to enter the parliament after the election. So it is a big change. It is a new dimension that we're witnessing at this moment in Bangladesh.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with investigative journalist Zulkarnain Sayed Khan about the upcoming Bangladesh election. The two parties and coalitions that you've spoken about so far, Sayed, seem to be polling at around 30% each. Is there a sense of where the Awami League's traditional support is likely to vote in this election where their party is not allowed to participate?
I have actually just seen a poll result today, statistics that suggests that 37.8% of the Awami League supporters have decided to vote for the BNP, and some of them have decided to vote for the Jamaat-e-Islami. And the poll, the statistical differences between Jamaat-e-Islami and BNP are bit farther from each other. BNP is leading the way, and Jamaat is behind by around 10 to 12 points.
Okay, all right, so that's very interesting. Let's talk about a couple of other, or a few other potential players in this election, Sayed. The interim leader of Bangladesh is Muhammad Yunus. What role does he play in this campaign? He's not running.
I know, he's not running. He's trying to manage the law and order situation in the country. Since the revolution, there have been a number of incidents that took place recently. We had assassination of a student leader who was quite prominent among the young people, like Osman Hadi. He was assassinated. He was basically shot on 12th of December, and he died in Singapore on 18th of December, where he was taken for better treatment. Since then, there were attacks on two major media houses in Bangladesh, the Pratham Alo and the Daily Star. Law enforcement situation in the country deteriorated since the revolution, and it went again drastically bad after that arson attack on the Daily Star and the Pratham Alo. And even yesterday, there were some movement around the residence of Dr. Yunus. So he is having a tough time, I can tell you this much. Like, he's struggling to keep things under control, but with the support of the armed forces, things are still moving on the right direction. Things are still quiet. We are really hopeful that the election is done on the 12th of February. Like, there is no other way for the country other than conducting the election in time.
Yes, and you mentioned the army there. That was the other one of the other players I was going to ask you about. What is the role of the army in this election campaign and in the post-revolution political order?
Interestingly enough, like you will see that army in Bangladesh before, like till the early 90s, army always meddled into the political affairs. They always had this adventurous mode that to take the power, to seize the power, and to enforce martial law across the country. But the military that we have seen, we're witnessing now, they are not really interested in seizing the power. They're more interested in having a democratically elected government. Like even the chief of army staff, General Waqar Zaman, he number of times said in various press conferences that the military even asked for the election to be held earlier than December. So I think it's pretty unique for a military to demand for elections and who publicly confirms that they do not have any kind of political ambition.
Yes,
with an interview with Al Jazeera, General Waqar himself told that the military doesn't have any interest for seizing the power. Rather, they would like to help the civilian administration and the political parties who would rule the country. So I don't see the military being a challenge to the power.
Yes, well, it's an absolutely fascinating situation and it'll be intriguing to see the outcomes of Thursday's poll. Sayed, thank you so much for joining us again on Sunday Extra.
Pleasure, Jules. Thank you very much.
Great to have you. That's investigative journalist Zulkarnain Sayed Khan, who now, thanks to his investigative reporting about the politics of Bangladesh, now has to live in exile in the UK. Sayed was part of multiple Al Jazeera investigations into the government of Sheikh Hasina and the Awami League. And on Sunday Extra, it's coming up to 24 minutes past 7.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.